Welcome back to QR Calgary and More Than Money. And Rob, we've been chatting about the fixed income world. We talked about Canada, the areas of opportunity, the way that there's a good opportunity mm-hmm. to make some decent rates of return given today and where we are in the interest rate cycle. But one thing I think Canadians do as investors is they're very domestic bias.
Yeah.
So they'll buy GICs. Of course, based on Canadian interest rates. When they go into the bond market, they're generally buying bonds in Canada or bond funds or ETFs mm-hmm. in Canada for Canadian bonds. And I think they're missing out. In fact, I know they're missing out on a huge opportunity around the world.
Yeah.
And so our guest has been patiently waiting for us to share his insight on this. We've got Tony Crescenza, Executive VP, Market Strategist, and Generalist Portfolio Manager with PIMCO. Tony, I just teed up this whole piece on where the opportunities are. I believe it should be outside of Canada more than inside of Canada. We've been working together, your firm and our firm, for a very long time. We've seen the great work that you guys have done. We've seen the benefits of global diversification and fixed income. So let's get right to it. Where's the opportunities globally in the fixed income world? And why do you believe there's those opportunities there?
First of all, there are a lot of complexities that make the active management style the best choice probably for 2024 in our eyes. The complexities include geopolitics, which is affecting different regions in different ways, of course. The complexities also include the rewiring of the global economy. Think of supply chains, for example, and complexities related to technology. Think of AI as a disruptor, for example. And so when thinking about those complexities, one has to go global because it can affect these nations and sectors, industries in so many different ways. We should also be thinking, and more to your question, about the divergence in central bank policies. Central banks, some will move faster than others, and one will want to take advantage of that. So one idea we've had of late, for example, is to be invested in Australian bonds with certain scaling, kept low, of course, because you want to be diversified when thinking about global positioning. But similar to Canada, there's some stress there related to the household sector that probably does not exist in the United States, where the household sector is in good shape, creating these vulnerabilities that could push interest rates downward faster. So we'd want to take advantage of that by moving, let's say, in a U.S. Dollar-based portfolio, moving some money from U.S. Treasuries into Australian government bonds, because, again, the chances of a bigger drop there in yield might be greater. Because you see resilience in the U.S. economy. And so that's one way to think about the developed markets is these the divergences in central banks. And also there's the election in the United States this year and elsewhere, including in the emerging markets, that will cause markets to move around a lot. So you really got to be on your toes. If I had one final reason to be on your toes this year, choose the active approach is to be thinking about cross-market opportunities. It includes the global sphere and public versus private and that sort of thing. And it requires a global footprint. If I thought about my personal ability to navigate these markets, it would be rather low because the complexities are quite great globally. But if you choose firms and individuals that you know, advisors that have strength in knowing more about the global markets, you can help take advantage of these opportunities. And so the final word would be regarding the emerging markets. They haven't performed as well of late, but we see clean balance sheets there in terms of positioning. Money's been flowing out of that market, yet the central banks there have been pretty orthodox with respect to fighting inflation. And on the way out, if the U.S. starts lowering its interest rate, of course it might negatively affect the dollar at some point, helping some of the emerging markets. And one way to invest there is through the currencies, since they're highly liquid and you don't get trapped in some of the problems that go with the illiquidity in some of those emerging markets. So lots of opportunities, lots of things to do because of it's become a global bond market again. We didn't see that in the 2010s.
Tony, when I sit down with our team here, we always look at the areas of opportunity, but also where the risks are. If you look around the world and you look at all the different nations with everything that's going on, I believe 50% of the world's population will be going through an election this year. That's one risk on the table that I can identify as potentially short term. But when you look at the risks around the world, where are they, and what should you do to mitigate those risks in a diversified bond portfolio?
Well, you mentioned the elections. That's one key risk. Of course, there could be lots of disruptions. And being passive would be the wrong way to go. Being passive after the U.S. election, for example, means being invested in sectors that perhaps won't fit the next regime, political regime, that will be in place for 4 years. So that's one important thing to be thinking about. But I think just in general, when we're thinking about the risks, probably relates to central banks and whether they adhere to the lessons of history. So if you see a central bank moving too quickly, so we talked about Canada, for example, do seem to be reasons to be thinking about moving relatively soon, the same for the European Central Bank and the Federal Reserve, although in all those, in each of those cases, we think that central banks probably move a little later than markets think, but not tremendously later. But if a central bank moves too quickly, it will break it turns back to the lessons of history, numerous of them, especially in the United States in the 70s and even the late 60s, where the central banks start to cut rates before the job was done. Now, one very important point, though, in terms of these risks, think not in terms of the inflation objectives that the central banks have. So for the Fed, it's 2%. It may not achieve that initially. It'll reach 2 point something rather than 2.0. It may achieve, though, and this is important for investors, price stability. It's a big difference between that and 2%. Price stability was enough in the 80s, 90s, and 2000s to bring investors pretty good returns in many assets. Price stability, defined by Alan Greenspan, former Fed chair, and Paul Volcker, the legendary Fed chair from the 70s and 80s, is where price changes cease to have impact on household and business decision-making. We may get to that point, and investors will say, well, we didn't get to 2.0, but it's hovering around 2 point something. Good enough, it's not going to get worse. And if we get to that point, then investors will have a green light to drive asset prices higher. But again, the risk is a central bank that moves before price stability has been achieved would be the mistake and something to guard against. So you want to watch, do be a good central bank watcher this year.
I'm going to be a little bit unfair here, Tony. I'm going to give you less than a minute here to talk about the geopolitical risks that are out there and how it can swing not only the currency market, but also the fixed income market. What are your thoughts about how the impacts will be as these geopolitical risks carry forward throughout the year?
Okay, watch this minute very closely on the clock. First lesson for me, being a bit older than the average listener and viewers, an investor is not to worry too much about it in the long run. Lots of examples, Cold War, the U.S. S&P 500 rose 11.5% per year on average during that period. Inflation was 4%, so pretty good returns during that time. Even since the tariffs were imposed against China by the Trump administration, the U.S. stock market's up substantially in that period, and tensions between the U.S. and China have gone up a lot. So what good did it do an investor to worry? So yes, there are near-term potholes, but in the long run, so long as the global pie is growing, investors probably shouldn't worry all that much. But again, as we said earlier, be active about things and expect that you may have to make changes to your portfolio now and then.
Keep an eye on the pie growing. And that's one conversation we're going to definitely talk about. How do you have growth in your portfolio as you go through retirement at our upcoming seminar? Rob, when is that next seminar?
You got it. Next one will be held Tuesday, January 23rd, 7 p.m. in person at the Country Hill Country Hills Golf Club. You'll have to register for this. Go to morethanmoneyradio.com.
Tony, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and come back after the break. You want to hear about the new program coming out with Alzheimer's Calgary. It's definitely going to be a big one there. You're on QR Calgary and More Than Money.